Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman member by Ram Goldar and today Maseches Gittin Daf Nun Ches, the fifth parak Hanizaki. The Zichu Maseches Gittin program has been generously sponsored by Zichu Nishmas Chaya Hadas Basender. So the three daps are going to focus on number one. Among numerous tragedies of the period of the Churban described by the Gemara, Rav relates the story of Yishmael ben Elisha's son and daughter. They were taken as slaves by two masters, and when they met, one said, "Yesh li evet shein kayofya b'chol olam. I have a slave whose beauty is unparalleled in the world." The other responded that he had a slave woman whose beauty is unparalleled. They decided to pair them together in a room, intending to divide the offspring. Each sat in a corner, the son saying, "Ani kohen ben kohanim gadoyim eser shivcho. I'm a kohen, son of kohanim gadoyim. I should wed a slave woman." The daughter said similarly, "I'm a kohenes, daughter of kohanim gadoyim. I should marry a slave." They wept the whole night, and when dawn broke, they recognized one another. They fell upon each other and wept bitterly until their souls left them. Yirmiyah lamented over them, "Al eilani bochia, eini eini yor demayim. Over these I weep. My eye runs with water." Pointing to the Mishnah Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis taught that initially, one who bought land from a Sikrikron, an idolater who seized a Jew's land, and then purchased it from the owner in an effort to have the owner legitimize the sale from the Sikrikron, the sale is void and the land must be returned. Rav says, Loshanu el da amru lalech chazek ukni. The only taught this where the owner told the purchaser, "Go make a chazak and acquire it." Of a bishtar kana, but if the owner gave him a document of sale, he acquires it. Rashi explains that the owner's voluntarily writing a shtar indicates his sincere agreement to the sale. Shmuel says, "Af bishtar nami lokana." Even with a document, he does not acquire it. Ashiyichtav lachrais, unless he writes for the purchaser that he accepts responsibility to compensate him if the owner's creditor collects it. A brice is brought in support of Shmuel, which teaches that one who purchases land from someone and then purchases the lien on that land for the ksuba from the seller's wife, mikho batel, the second sale is void and the lien remains in force. Ashiyichtav lachrais, unless she writes for him to accept responsibility to compensate him if the land is later collected. Rav can answer that achrais here refers to a document because neither party can retract after it's given. And point with you, the Mishnah Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis taught that a later court ruled that one who purchases land which remained with a Sikrikon for 12 months pays one quarter to the owner and may keep the land. A brisa qualifies this. Haba machmas chov, if an idolater comes to seize a Jew's land as payment for a debt, umachmas amparus, or a seizure without any cause, aimbo mishum Sikrikon, the law of Sikrikon does not apply. Rather, the land is returned to the owner for free. Rashi explains that where the Jew was not threatened with his life, we do not assume he forfeited his property, the Sikrikron, even if he did not challenge him for 12 months. Rav Yosef said, "Ein amparus bebavel. There is no land stolen without cause in bavel," which the Gemara explains to mean the law of land stolen without cause does not apply in bavel, and the buyer may keep it. The Gemara explains, since there is a courthouse in bavel, yet he didn't go to complain about a stolen land, ema chuli achil. We can assume he pardoned the Sikrikon. So once again, the three points are number one. Among numerous tragedies of the period of the Churban described by the Gemara, Rav relates the story of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha's son and daughter. They were taken as slaves by two masters, and when they met, one said, "Yesh li evet shein kayofya b'chol olam. I have a slave whose beauty is unparalleled in the world." The other responded that he had a slave woman whose beauty is unparalleled. They decided to pair them together in a room, intending to divide the offspring. Each sat in a corner, the son saying, "Ani kohen ben kohanim gadoyim eser shivcho. I'm a kohen, son of kohanim gadoyim. I should wed a slave woman." The daughter said similarly, "I'm a kohenes, daughter of kohanim gadoyim. I should marry a slave." They wept the whole night, and when dawn broke, they recognized one another. They fell upon each other and wept bitterly until their souls left them. Yirmiyah lamented over them, "Al eilani bochia, eini eini yor demayim. Over these I weep. My eye runs with water." Pointing to the Mishnah Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis taught that initially, one who bought land from a Sikrikron, an idolater who seized a Jew's land, and then purchased it from the owner in an effort to have the owner legitimize the sale from the Sikrikron, the sale is void and the land must be returned. Rav says, Loshanu el da amru lalech chazek ukni. The only taught this where the owner told the purchaser, "Go make a chazak and acquire it." Of a bishtar kana, but if the owner gave him a document of sale, he acquires it. Rashi explains that the owner's voluntarily writing a shtar indicates his sincere agreement to the sale. Shmuel says, "Af bishtar nami lokana. Even with a document, he does not acquire it. Ashiyichtav lachrais, unless he writes for the purchaser that he accepts responsibility to compensate him if the owner's creditor collects it." A brice is brought in support of Shmuel, which teaches that one who purchases land from someone and then purchases the lien on that land for the ksuba from the seller's wife, mikho batel, the second sale is void and the lien remains in force. Ashiyichtav lachrais, unless she writes for him to accept responsibility to compensate him if the land is later collected. Rav can answer that achrais here refers to a document because neither party can retract after it's given. And pointing with you, the Mishnah Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis taught that a later court ruled that one who purchases land which remained with a Sikrikon for 12 months pays one quarter to the owner and may keep the land. A brisa qualifies this. Haba machmas chov, if an idolater comes to seize a Jew's land as payment for a debt, umachmas amparus, or a seizure without any cause, Ein bo mishum sikrikon. The law of sikrikon does not apply. Rather, the land is returned to the owner for free. Rashi explains that where the Jew was not threatened with his life, we do not assume he forfeited his property, the sikrikon, even if he did not challenge him for 12 months. Rav Yosef said, Ein amparus bebavo. There is no land stolen without cause in bavo, which the Gemara explains to mean the law of land stolen without cause does not apply in bavo, and the buyer may keep it. The Gemara explains, since there is a courthouse in bavo, yet he didn't go to complain about a stolen land, Ema chuli achil. We can assume he pardoned the sikrikon. All right, so now we get our siman daf nun ches, and our standard siman is Noach Goldberg the zookeeper. Noach Goldberg the zookeeper, not to be confused with the biblical Noach. So here goes. The zoo with the green cage containing a very sad brother and sister who were slaves, which was purchased from a sikrikon and then from Noach Goldberg, the owner, who voluntarily wrote the buyer a shtar, was returned to Noach Goldberg when he was informed that the law of sikrikon does not apply when the land is stolen without cause. Once again, in slow motion. The zoo with the green cage, zoo with the green cage, that must be one daf nun ches, Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. The zoo with the green cage containing a very sad brother and sister who were slaves, which reminds us, the Gemara relates the tragic story of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha's beautiful son and daughter who were taken as slaves and brought together. So, the zoo with the green cage containing a very sad brother and sister who were slaves, which was purchased from a sikrikon and then from Noach Goldberg, the owner, who voluntarily wrote the buyer a shtar, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Nunhei Amud Beis taught that initially one who bought land from a sikrikon and then purchased it from the owner in an effort to have the owner legitimize the sale from the sikrikon, the sale is void and the land must be returned. Rav says, the only taught this where the owner told the purchaser, go make a chazaka and acquire it, of a shtar kana, but if the owner gave him a document of sale, he acquires it. Rashi explains that the owner's voluntarily writing a shtar indicates his sincere agreement to the sale. Shmuel says, "Af b'shtar namul kan." Even with a document, he doesn't acquire it ad sheyichtov lo achrayis, unless he writes for the purchaser that he accepts responsibility to compensate him if the owner's creditor collects it. So the zoo with the green cage containing a very sad brother and sister who were slaves, which was purchased from a sikrikon and then from Noach Goldberg, the owner, who voluntarily wrote the buyer a shtar, was returned to Noach Goldberg when he was informed that the law of sikrikon does not apply when the land is stolen without cause. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Nunhei Amud Beis taught that a later court ruled that one who purchases land which remained with the sikrikon for 12 months pays one quarter to the owner and may keep the land. A brisa qualifies as haba machmas chov. If an idolater comes to seize a Jew's land as payment for a debt, umachmas amparus, or a seizure without any cause, embo mishum sikrikon. The law of sikrikon does not apply. Rather, the land is returned to the owner for free. Once again, in slow motion. The zoo with the green cage containing a very sad brother and sister who were slaves, which was purchased from a sikrikon and then from Noach Goldberg, the owner, who voluntarily wrote the buyer a shtar, was returned to Noach Goldberg when he was informed that the law of sikrikon does not apply when the land is stolen without cause. All right, so now it's time for four blah back chazara. Daf nun dalad. So the simon daf nun dalad is noodles. So here goes. The Kohen, who was outraged when he saw that the Yisrael, who accidentally ate his green noodle dish, green noodles, that must be more on daf nun dalad, noodles. The Kohen, who was outraged when he saw that the Yisrael, who accidentally ate his green noodle dish made from Tahor Truma, repaid him a shogeg with Tamechu, and which reminds us, the Gemara daf nun gimel amud beis asserted that Rabbi Meir penalizes a shogeg as severely as Mezid for a Rabban, yet he rules in a brisa that if a non-Kohen ate Tahor Truma b'shogeg, instead of paying him Tahor Chulin, he paid him with Tamechu, which cannot be eaten since it becomes Truma. Rabbi Meir says, b'shogeg tashum of tashumim. If it was done b'shogeg, the payment is valid. But Mezid, the payment is invalid. The Gemara answers that this is not comparable, since there when paying with Tamei Chulin, the man intended to pay as required. Should we go and penalize him for mistakenly paying with Tamei Produce? So the Kohen was outraged when he saw that the Yisrael, who accidentally ate his green noodle dish made from Tahor Truma, repaid him b'shogeg with Tamei Chulin, wasn't believed when he told the man he was mafago the carbon he brought on his behalf the day before, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa that if one was preparing tahor items for another, and he told him the tahor items are prepared if he became tameh, or if he was preparing karbanos for another by sacrificing them, and he told him the karbanos are prepared if he became pigol, he's believed. However, if he said that items he prepared on a previous day became tameh or pigol, he's not believed. Abai explains the difference, kol shebiyado neman, anything within his ability to do now, he's believed to say he did. But something that's no longer in his ability to do, such as something that was done the day before, he's not believed. Rava gives a different explanation. So the Kohen, who was outraged when he saw that the Yisrael, who accidentally ate his green noodle dish made from Tahor Truma, repaid him b'shogeg with Tamei Chulin, wasn't believed when he told the man he was mafago the carbon he brought on his behalf the day before, and that the Sefer Torah he had written for him that was now in this man's possession was pasul because he didn't write Hashem's names, Lishma. Which reminds us, the Gemara relates an incident of a sofer told Rabbi Ami about a Sefer Torah he wrote for someone. I did not write the mentions of Hashem's names, Lishma, which would invalidate the entire Sefer Torah. After determining the Torah was in the purchaser's possession, Rabbi Yami responded, Ne'eman ata l'hapsid scharcha, you are believed to forfeit your wages since you admitted you didn't perform the work properly, v'yata ne'eman l'hapsid Sefer Torah, but you're not believed to disqualify the Sefer Torah. Daf Nun Hei, so the Simmer Daf Nun Hei is a speed limit sign of 55. So here goes. The stolen chattis thief who got hungry whizzing past green speed limit signs, that must mean on Daf Nun Hei, speed limit sign of 55. The stolen chattis thief who got hungry whizzing past green speed limit signs being held by sad kohanim, which reminds us Yochan ben Gugudah taught, v'chattis ha-gazul shol nodel rabim, concerning a stolen chattis, meaning a stolen animal, which the thief designated as a chattis, which is not publicly known to have been stolen, shehim echaperes mifnei tikkun ha-mizbech, that it atones for the thief's chattis obligation for the benefit of the mizbech. Ula says, biblically speaking, whether it was known or not, it doesn't atone for the thief, because yeush kedil kani, the owner's despair alone, does not acquire ownership of the thief. Nevertheless, the rabbis instituted that where the stolen status of the animal is unknown, it atones for the thief's obligation, so that the kohanim should not be saddened by the later discovery that they ate illegitimate sacrificial meat, meaning chulam brought as a carbon. This is called tikkun ha-mizbeach, the benefit of the mizbeach, because kohanim would hesitate in the future to bring karbonis. Rav Yehuda brings a different explanation. So the stolen chattis thief who got hungry whizzing past green speed limit signs being held by sad kohanim stopped to shech the carbon outside the Mikdash, unaware he'll be chayiv karas by rabbinic decree, which reminds us, Rabbi challenged Ula from a brayso which teaches about a stolen animal, which the thief was makdish, if he shechted it outside the Mikdash, in such a case, anush karas, he's liable to karas. This proves that Yeush is sufficient for the thief to own and be makdish the animal, for otherwise it wouldn't be karas for shechting outside the Mikdash. Rav Shivzi answered, it means karas medivrehem, it's karas by rabbinical decree. Rav explained that the karas was engendered due to a rabbinical decree. The rabbis place it in the thief's possession using the principle of hefker based in hefker, so you should be chayav for karas for shechting it outside the Mikdash. So the stolen chattis thief who got hungry whizzing past green speed limit signs being held by sad kohanim stopped to shech the carbon outside the Mikdash, unaware he'll be chayav karas by rabbinical decree, and that he was standing on land being sold by a sikrikon who had taken it from a Jew, which reminds us, Gemara discusses purchasing land from a sikrikon, an idolater who sees land from a Jew. Daf Nun Vav. So the Zimmer Daf Nun Vav is a shusher in shul going nu. So here goes. The shusher in shul. Shusher in shul. That must mean we're in Daf Nun Vav. The shusher in shul on Tisha B'Av who shushed everybody with his long green finger so they could carefully listen to the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, which reminds us the following three blocks discuss the Churban of Baisheni in detail, beginning with the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. So the shusher in shul on Tisha B'Av who shushed everybody with his long green finger so they could carefully listen to the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, and then hear the shir on Rabbi Yochanan's three requests from Vespasian, which reminds the Gemara brings a background behind Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's three requests of Vespasian of Tenli Yavne V'Chachameh, grant me Yavne and its sages to be spared, the line of Rabban Gamliel, the eventual Nasi from David's line, and doctors secure Rabbi Tzadok from his years of fasting. Rav Yosef or Rabbi Kiva declared about him, Hashem turns wise men backwards and makes their intelligent foolish. He should have said to leave them this time and spare Yerushalayim. The more explains Rabbi Yochanan was afraid that Vespasian would not grant him anything. So the shusher in shul on Tisha B'Av who shushed everybody with his long green finger so they could carefully listen to the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, and then hear the shir on Rabbi Yochanan's three requests from Vespasian, was complimented by the rabbi who said that the shush's shush was so loud it would have stopped the gnat picking away at Titus's brain, which reminds us, the Gemara describes what occurred when Titus was sent in Vespasian's place. He did despicable things in the Kodesh Kodashim and was eventually punished by the tiny gnat who entered his nose and picked at his brain for 7 years. Once he passed a smith hammering and the gnat stopped. For the next 3 days, he had a smith banging in his presence until the gnat became accustomed to the sound and returned. The Gemara describes its great size when Titus died. All right, so now we go to a Simmer Daf Nun Zayin, and our standard simmer is a nose, and we often use a puppet with a long nose. So here goes. The puppet show on the Churban featured a convert pulling three green puppets with long noses. Puppets with long noses? That must be Simmer Daf Nun Zayin. The puppet show on the Churban featured a convert pulling three green puppets with long noses out of graves, which reminds the Gemara relates how Uncas raised his uncle Titus, Bilam, and a Jewish sinner from the dead, and asked if he should convert, and their various responses. So the puppet show on the Churban featured a convert pulling three green puppets with long noses out of graves, who then suspended them over what looked like boiling blood, which reminds us, the Gemara relates what happened when Nebuzaradan, Nebuchadnezzar's general, found the blood of Zechariah bubbling on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. So the puppet show on the Churban featured a convert pulling three green puppets with long noses out of graves, who then suspended them over what looked like boiling blood, just as a righteous mother holding a picture of her seven sons jumped off a rooftop. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings the incident of the woman and her seven sons who were brought before Caesar and refused to worship an idol. Alright, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf do we learn about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's three requests from Vespasian? That's on daf Nunvav. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn about uncle is rising his uncle Titus, Bilam, and a Jewish sinner from the dead and asking them if he should convert? That's on daf Nun Zion. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we have a question whether one is believed when he claims his friend's Tahor items became Tameh or his carbon became Pigol? That's on daf Nundal. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you is when we penalize Shogeg Atu Mazid regarding Hezek Shenu Nikar and Bishop Bashabas Bishogeg? That's on daf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 5. Which of the one, according to Rav, if the owner of the field wrote a star to the one who bought his field from a Sikrikron, the sale is valid? That's on daf Nun Ches. Good. Number 6. Which of the one about the woman and her seven sons who were brought before Caesar and refused to worship an idol? That's on daf Nun Zion. Good. Number 7. Which of the one about the story of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha's beautiful son and daughter who were bought as slaves and then brought together? That's on daf Nun Ches. Good. Number 8. Which of the one, the land is returned to the owner if the Sikrikon took the land as payment of a debt or he seized it without cause? That's on daf Nun Ches. Good. Number 9. Which of the one about Nebuzaradan discovering the blood of Zechariah on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash? That's on daf Nun Zion. Good. Number 10. Which of the one, a stolen animal designated as a carbon, which was shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash, the onus is karis based on a rabbinical decree? That's on daf Nun Hey. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar Mizrachi wishing you a great day and great learning.